All right, man, random thought. Do we think it's time that the U.S. has a federal mandate or law on maternity leave for women? And the reason why I ask that, there's this viral story that went out, might have been a week or two ago. This girl, Rachel Larson, was had her baby. She's a professional, you know, kind of working mom. Had the 12 weeks off. And just she talks just about the struggle of not really being ready to go back to work and to leave her kid and all that type of stuff. And so, which I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. A lot of women feel that way, whether they're CEO executives or even stay-at-home moms. I mean, they just feel that emotional that emotional thing, from what I understand. And we look at a lot of the comments, a lot of the, of course, you know, you try to not look at the comments.
Except
from
what I understand.
Yeah, you look at the comments, and like a lot of guys are like, you need to suck it up, da-da-da, you got this. But even a lot of women were like, look, I worked two jobs, and da-da-da, I went back to work after my first week. You know, you need to kind of suck it up. And so I started looking around at other countries to see, you know, what is the law? And actually, U.S. is the only country that doesn't have a set law for what the paternity leave would be. It's up to the employer, you know, but right. Look at some of these other countries. It's amazing when you see how many weeks of maternity leave some of these other countries get. So, you know, you're a dad now. Do you think it's time that we look into this and try to get a federal law of all companies have to provide X amount of weeks with a certain percentage of pay for maternity leave?
Here, let me speak for your Republican friends. What are we, socialist country? No, we cannot force companies to do what they want to do. You know, what kind of communism are you trying to bring to this country? There's these great United States of America. What kind of communist mentality is you trying to bring here? Let's be honest, man. It's never going to happen because, just like you said, the reason that there are men on there who are like, oh, suck it up, men telling women what to do, that's what this country has been built on and has followed all along. There are men telling women about what to do with their bodies until, mm-hmm. of course, it's, oh, wait a minute, my mistress has a baby. Get rid of it. You know, yeah. It's until it affects somebody personally, they don't care. The same thing when it came down to gay rights. It didn't matter. So if it doesn't affect men, they're not going to change this. And do I think it's time? Yes. And at the same time, I do think that you should have paternity leave as well. So let's put some paternity leave in there because that's me being selfish because it affects me in this sense.
Yeah.
When we knew we were having our little angel and, you know, like, hey, so do we have paternity leave? And they go, no, but we do have FMLA. Or what is it? Is that the right acronym? I have no idea. You know this thing.
Yeah, there's okay. FMLA.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Oh, and use your PTO days. I'm like, why? Okay, you know what? Never mind. So, so yeah, should we have it? Yes, but then I'm not surprised that America doesn't because it's the land of you can't tell me what to do. And also, look at vacation. You can take.
Yeah.
A week off, but you can't really take a month off like they do in Europe. You go anywhere around the world and you'll find people on holiday from Europe that have been there for like 3 weeks and have another week to go before they go back.
Mm-hmm. So no yeah, problem. I mean, but look at some of these other countries. Bulgaria, for example, 58.6 weeks of maternity leave. And the pay rate, it's 78.4% of the mother's previous full-time salary, which comes so out to about 45.9 weeks.
Okay, yep. So she still gets almost a year's of her salary and gets to stay out. That's fair. Because you still need some of that money to pay for the temp that's going to fill in. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of countries that actually do it. You know, Croatia is 30 weeks of fully paid maternity leave. You know, mm-hmm. 30 weeks compared to what some companies do as just 12. But the U.S. doesn't have any. Like mandate for it. Out of all these, I mean, looking at all these countries that do it, Czech Republic, 28 weeks at 62.6% of their salary. So it's possible, but you're right. I don't think we're going to do it because mm-hmm. you're not going to force big business and corporations to do anything like that. And that's just who we are in America. If it was something that impacted men, unfortunately, you're right that, yeah, they would change it, but
I'll be honest, that 58 weeks seems like a lot. I do believe that some mothers will probably come back before then. Like, Jesus Christ, I got to put this child back in, and I got to put this child in daycare or something, right? The 30 weeks at 100%, I think more people would take that and keep that the entire time because it is at 100%. So if there's a sweet spot from zero to 58.6 at 77%. So zero at no given percentage and 58.6 is the max at 77%. I'm going for the 30 weeks at 100%. That's what I would go with.
Yeah. I mean, I think 30 weeks, 100% is fair. I would at least say at minimum 12 weeks, 100% paid is the minimum that every company has to do. Right. Cause right now it's all by choice. So some people it's 12 weeks, some people it's this. But even if you did up to 30 weeks at 100% pay, I think, you know, I'd be curious to see what the studies would show. Cause I don't think everybody's going to take the full 30 weeks. Right. To your point, there are certain people, it could be their second child. They've already been through this. They got it. They're good. But at least you have the option compared to the countdown clock of you got 12 weeks. Whether you're ready or not, you got to come back to this office. Yeah. I don't think that's fair. And then now I think since we've, as a society, have proven we can all work from home in some form or fashion, why not have like another tier where if you don't want to, you know, you got 12 weeks fully paid or you can go to part-time, you know, for another 12 weeks, you know, if you want to do that. Question, that gives them a chance to ease into it.
Do you cut it off at a certain number of children, though? Because, you know, I mean, one child, yeah, I let you have a 30 weeks, that's cool. Then, you know, 9 months later, like, hey, guess what? Like, hold up, wait a minute. Then all of a sudden, 9 months after that, hey, guess what? Now, at what point do you go, hold up, we cut this off after the third pregnancy, that's it. You got to come back after 12 hours, yeah. Goddammit.
Yeah. We're going to need you to sign our pull out policy, please.
We've implemented this pull out policy. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh shit. I'm making a shirt with that pull out policy. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having some crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one, going from serious to crazy like that. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Indeed. And, you know, we've... Is it tonight? I'm so confused on the dates. Is tonight the finale?
Yes.
It is the finale. We find out finale. Who Matt James watched. So don't forget to watch The Bachelor tonight. Or you can skip it and just catch our Black Bachelor recaps. We're going to let you know what happened. We'll let you know who won the whole shebang. Who was right all along? Was it Terrell? Was it me? Was it both of us? Because there is a way. Or is it none of us? Because there is an actual way that we can both be right. And there's a way that we can both be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I doubt that'll happen, but... We shall see.
Now you can always join the conversation by commenting. You can agree, disagree, or agree to disagree. Kind of like what we do all the time. So you'll also be putting the running for the monthly Regular Guys Random Giveaway. It's the RGRT Pod Black Bachelor Recaps every Tuesday on YouTube. Well, this will be the last one. So we won't even say every Tuesday. This is the last Tuesday.
Yes.
On YouTube. Yes. Just search RGRT Pod and be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications. Now, let's get back to the show. What made you smile this week, man?
What made me smile this week? It was a really crazy, busy week this week. And just a whole lot of different things going on. You know, putting in some 12-hour days at work. So Saturday, after my standard Saturday haircut appointment, and I got my first 3 pounds of crawfish of the year this Saturday. And it was magical. I love crawfish season. It's going to go down. Now that I'm living closer to this particular place I love to go, I had that and then came home and was just lazy as hell the rest of that Saturday, and it was glorious.
Is that the thing they call itis, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what they refer to when they say the itis has kicked in?
Yeah, yeah, it got me. But it just felt good to do nothing, you know, and be lazy, right? The most biggest accomplishment I did on Saturday is I folded one load of clothes. The other one's still in the dryer.
Well, first of all, there are a lot of people listening right now who go, wait, you folded the clothes? Because just folding the clothes, nobody has a problem washing clothes. Nobody has a problem drying clothes. It's folding them. How many times have you gone someplace and see a pile of clothes? These dirty? No, those are all clean.
So let's back
to the crawfish, though, because I'm not a big crawfish person. How do you cook it? What is it like? What's so special about crawfish?
Oh, God, it's...
It's orgasmic, goddammit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a gift from the gods on high. So I'm very picky about my crawfish. So my family is from New Orleans, so I've grown up eating crawfish. And then I normally do a boil every year. 2020 got canceled due to COVID, but I'm still going to do one at some point this year. And so for me, it's all about the flavor that you have, you know, with the right seasoning, other things you put into it, whether it's your, you know, your garlic, your onions. I like to throw in orange wedges in mine because it's a sweeter citrus compared to a lemon. And then once you let the crawfish boil, you let it kind of soak and just sit and just soak up all that flavor so it's nice and juicy. Some places, soak they just kind of throw it in. They throw it in and they throw the seasoning on top. And so, you know, you got to suck the head and get all the juice out. So this place does a great job of it. Then you have your sausage link. And, you know, I was by myself. I was sitting on the patio. And I had Hulu playing. I was watching Enter the Dragon, earbuds in, and just killing some crawfish, and had a beer. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, it was just, I was in the zone just by myself and watching Bruce Lee and just eating crawfish. I'm like, it just does not get any better than this. So it was a great one. What about you? What made you smile this week?
I can see you reliving that moment right now. It's playing through your mind, and you're still smiling. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah, mouth just watering. I'm just like, crawfish.
As soon as this podcast over. Well, for me, so quarantine has been a little different for me in the sense that it's been a blessing, right? In the sense that, you know, through most of the pregnancy, I was right there with my wife. And through the birth of our child and through the first 7 months of her being on this earth, I have been there every single day. Mm-hmm. And then this week, I'm on special assignment. So this week, I was gone for the first time, gone for, was it three days, right? Mm-hmm. 3-4 days. When I came back in on Friday evening, she was already gone to sleep. She woke up and I put her back to sleep, great. But she, you know, she's still in that haze. So she didn't really, you know, she's not really acknowledging everything that's happening. But Saturday morning, when to walk in the room and see her, and she sees me, and she just lights up and starts kicking and jumping. And it's all the excitement around seeing me, which is what I'm accustomed to seeing every morning. That literally made me just smile.
Yeah.
So the way you felt about your crawfish, bro, that's the kind of feeling. As you're describing that feeling you had sitting out on the patio with Bruce Lee and your earbuds on Hulu, and you got that beer, and you're eating your crawfish. That's the kind of joy I felt as soon as I walked in the room, you know, and it was on from there. So it was great to see her smile that way. And part of that is because I did speak to her every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude she gave me, the fact that the 7-month-old has all this attitude on FaceTime and just ignoring the hell out of me for Blue's Clues and you, I was like, wait a minute. We're going to have some discussions when I get back. And of course, as soon as I walk in the room, I'm like, okay, well, never mind. So discussion's out the window. Let's go.
So good. So just what I'm hearing is what it feels like to be a dad now and have a baby is equivalent to 3 pounds of crawfish, some sausage, Bruce Lee, and a beer. So I can say I've experienced it a little bit.
I'm not touching that one at all.
If that's what it's like, I'm gonna start having babies today. If that's what it's like, awesome.
Hey, be careful. I think your doorbell's ringing right now because you just said that. There are women lining up outside. Ding, ding. Hey, I heard that. I'm ready, sir.
I've just been waiting. I've been waiting patiently for you to say this, Terrell. Let's do it.
You got a new house, new job. How about a new baby? Yeah. New family.
You need to fill up one of those rooms with a baby.
You know, this looks like a great room for a nursery.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, politics as usual this week, man. I know it's been one of the big things that has everyone talking as the stimmy. Got people talking about Moneybag Joe and Kamala Cash. or what they call him, Doe Biden.
Yeah.
Some of the memes on social media because he finally signed it in. So they can get stimulus checks. People starting to get stimulus checks this week. What's your thoughts on all that, man?
So I'm glad they got it. They got it all passed. I think there's some great things that they put in this bill, especially, you know, $123 billion for COVID response. And you heard him say in his speech the other day that, you know, by May, everybody should be able to have one. And they're thinking by July, we're going to go back to what normal was. Very aggressive, but good. You know, some of the other things they put in there was great. The stimulus checks is the only thing that I feel a little different about. And stimulus, it's $1,400 for anybody that makes up to $80,000 or a household that has makes $120 or $150. I think if you've been making $80,000 during this pandemic, you don't need a stimulus check. Right. Most of the people that were impacted that lost jobs aren't in that pay category. Right now, even though they're still going to get one, but I would have put more towards that group. You know, let's say if you made under, I'd say even under 50, you know, if you are in most cases, you know, you weren't furloughed or whatever, you know, but a lot of the people who make less, you look at your frontline workers in the hospitality, retail, servers that you don't like to tip because of shitty service. All those other types of
tip.
Folks.
See, that's here you go with your Republican.
I said because of shitty service.
I never said
you don't
like
the tip always, because of shitty service.
No, I never said I don't tip. We're gonna get back to this. Okay. to this because I'm not gonna let you tell these lies out here talking about I don't tip. See, you're turning to Fox News. You're turning to Tucker Carlson over here. Terrell Carlson.
Retail workers, just a lot of the frontline people. I think are the ones that need that stimulus more. So I mean, it's great. Mm-hmm. That get out there, but I just think that if you've been making $80,000 this whole time and you just transition to work from home, you know, you've saved a lot of money on, you know, wardrobe, dry cleaning, gas,
yeah,
you know, all that. Entertainment costs are going down, so you're not spending anything. I think they went too high on who they gave a stimulus to. But other than that, I mean, I think it's great. We're getting things moving. We're starting to see more shots, more vaccines coming available. So, you know, it's good. Everything else in the bill I thought was good. I just wish the stimulus, they thought more about that stimulus package. I don't think anybody making $80,000 needs it.
You know, the problem, and here's the thing about it. I think it's trying to be all things to all people, right? And that's the issue. You can't be all things to all people because you can't please everybody regardless. Right. I mean, you have absolutely no problem not trying to please everybody. I have absolutely no problem not trying to please everybody. The hell with everybody. It's about here's who it is and this is what it is, right? The difference for politicians, they have to try and please everybody. And I think that's what happened with him is he didn't want to be seen as, oh, it's socialism giving those less fortunate more. But he should give them more because they're the ones that, like you said, were impacted the most. If you work in the service industry, and even if your restaurant did not close, right, and you're still able to do takeout orders, then now your servers are not getting that because, I mean, and if so, it's less of them that are being able to come and take it to somebody in their car. And are they really getting tips then? And consider what you're paying them, which is not even close to minimum wage, what they pay servers, right? So therefore, they're impacted. They need money because they've got bills. So it's like everybody else has bills, right? Like you said, if you've been affected and you've been working this entire time, but working remotely, or even to this point of you had to take a pay cut, because some of us had to take pay cuts, a percentage, no matter what that percentage was, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20%, at the same point, and I get it, because you lose some of that. I had to take a cut. And it's not fun, but you know what? You didn't hear me complaining about it because I still kept my job. Not furloughed in that sense. And I think those are people that need the help the most. And so you're right. It shouldn't have to be all the way up to that. Because if you're making $150,000, unless your bills are $151,000, it doesn't matter whether there was a pandemic or not, because you are probably going to still be in trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So therefore, they don't need to bail you out there. So that's where I agree on that side. I do think they should have given more because it could have been instead of 1,400, 2,000. So that, yeah, I can cover these past bills and still be able to do this, you know? So,
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to agree with what you're saying. Yeah,
what?
I agree.
Wait, you're going to agree with me? That's what I wanted to hear. Yes, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I do it once a month.
The other thing is on the vaccine, and it's funny because I heard, like, Angie Andrew on the Morning Hustle said the other day when he said, you know, by July 1st, we'll be back to having cookouts. She's like, wait a minute. I don't know if you want to tell black folks could have cookouts because you talk about at least 100 people at the cookout, you know?
Yeah.
You might want to tell them small gatherings, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was a funny take on it. But it's, you know, I like the fact that he's given this kind of deadline. I just don't know that right now we're actually even going to make it there. And I say that because, yes, the vaccines, it's a very aggressive that by May 1st, everyone does the vaccines. But I still think there's another spike coming because the spring break this week. Florida is off the chain. South Padre Island, you know, is back like it was when we were in college and you didn't make it because you were busy flipping burgers at Sonic, making all that dough, you know, so I get it. But and I understand. You want to get out. You want to break out. I missed spring break last week. I got to go do it. I got to live my life. But there are people who are just not adhering to the rules at all and acting as if the no shirt, no shoes is fine, but no mask is an infringement on my my rights. Come on, stop it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I think the process to try to get vaccines, it's challenging. You know, I was lucky to get my first shot this week. And...
How was it? Is your arm still sore? Did you grow a third leg?
No, 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 not at all. Still got my tail and everything. So nothing's falling off. But no, it wasn't a big deal. I didn't feel any real big soreness, you know, like other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just wasn't that big a deal. But just trying to go online to try to get them. That's what's difficult because you got to keep like refreshing a page and go here. And the thing is, not everybody has time to do that. Yeah. So hopefully that part will get a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think we're going to see a spike of some kind before this May 1st deadline. And I'm hoping we don't have to go into another shutdown for a couple weeks. But
exactly.
You know, people are good at people, right? And you're already starting to see people in Texas losing their shit because some businesses like in the city of Austin – you know, the governor lifted the mask mandate for the state of Texas. City of Austin said, yeah, we're still doing it. And so you got a lot of people who are upset. Luckily, I haven't seen any of that, but you just know what's going to happen. People are going to go off about wearing masks and all that. I'm like, it's just stupid. Just wait, get everybody vaccinated. We'll be fine. I'm already trying to plan like my crawfish boil. Like a lot of my friends, they've all got their first doses. And so by the time I want to have it, we've all had our second dose. So then it's like, we feel comfortable bringing everybody in, whether it's 10 people or 20 people that have all been vaccinated. You got to show me proof, but they've all been vaccinated.
I need your papers. I need your papers.
Show me your papers. but they got to show me the paper. But I think that's kind of the goal is you can get back to normal if you just, you know, play it safe. But I'm just glad more people are getting the shot. Highly encourage everybody to get vaccinated. It's going to be something that's going to be mandated. Employers are going to make you have to do it. At some point.
In order for some people to do it, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so just go ahead and get it done. You can fight it all you want, but you're going to have to get it done.
You know, the interesting thing, especially I think now, and I think people are forgetting that there's this thing, such thing as biological assault, right? So I think we're going to see a spike in that just because those who are mad about it, when they get mad, they decide to get really loud, really close in your face and try to purposely kind of spit on you or spray you. Well, I will just say this, and take this as fair warning to anybody. I don't answer hypothetical questions or situations, but I'm sure there's guaranteed to be some sort of retaliation if you ever get in my face like that before this pandemic or even after now, especially after now, because I don't like people in my face. I don't like people in my space. So, you know, if you're mad, like there was this video of this woman who was in an Uber. And, you know, the driver just asked her to put on a mask, and then they didn't want to put on the mask. So, all right, get out. They wouldn't get out, but they yelling, screaming, all right up on him, invading his space, pulling his mask off, right? That's assault, right? Now, banned by Uber, banned by Lyft, who was like, yeah, it didn't happen in the Lyft, but goddamn it sure won't either. She's not allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
You and your friend are no longer welcome on our platform. And rightfully so, yeah. Because you and her idiotic reasoning for it was, oh, well, you know, my boyfriend taught me that this. Wait, first of all, why is your boyfriend teaching you how to be a woman? That's something your parents should have done, right? But my boyfriend taught me, don't let anybody tell you what to do. Oh, Jesus. Y'all, we got to stop this nonsense, man. But I want to get back really and truly to you and the vaccine, because you're probably the third or fourth person that I know that has gotten it. Mm-hmm. And the process of getting it. So did you get to choose which one you got? And what? How long was it when you got? You said you didn't have the lasting soreness, but what was the experience like?
Sure. So there's a City of Austin page that you go to register to see if you qualify. Mm-hmm. And so I registered and I qualified, and I don't even know what justified me qualifying. I think because, you know, I used to be a smoker, or my dad died of cancer, so I have history. But I was eligible. And then you try to go in the site and try to register, and I couldn't. And someone had sent me a link to a place in Killeen, which is about an hour from me, that mm-hmm. Had appointments available. Just like went on. I just booked the appointment. He sent it to me Sunday. I made an appointment for Friday. I'm like, perfect. And so I drive out there. And what it was a church. And so they set up like this vaccine clinic within mm-hmm. this church kind of, you know, gymnasium deal. And process pretty smooth. I walked in. Do you have do you have an appointment? Yep. They saw my appointment, told me to go here. They gave me this clipboard to fill out some stuff. And then you sit and wait. And so I waited probably, I got there about 10 till noon, and they called me in about 12:30. They sit down, explain, and you don't get a chance to pick what shot you want. It's kind of whatever they have.
I'll have
and
that so, one, please.
Yeah. It's like, you know, do you want the Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson one dose? I didn't get the pick. It was just what they had. So they gave me the Pfizer. And then they said, hey, but you know, most people have, you know, these kind of symptoms. It's totally natural. Which arm do you want it in after your shot? You have to sit over there for 15 minutes before they let you leave to see if you have any allergic reaction to it. So, you know, pulled up my sleeve, boop, you know, threw the shot in there. And you have any questions? Like, nope. And then they give you the link to register for your second dose. And you have to keep your card. That's the other thing that's important. Your first dose, you get a card that shows that you've taken the first dose and signed off. If you show up to your second dose appointment without this, they're sending people away. Yeah. Right. So you got to have that with you. And your second dose might not be at the same location where you got the first dose. So you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to that.
The devil's in the details.
Yeah. But other than that, it was totally smooth. When I got home, I felt totally fine. And when I woke up yesterday, no different than whenever you get a flu shot, you know, there's nothing, you know, I can't say my arm hurt. Nothing. So I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess, you know, knock on wood, that I didn't have anything. But I hear the second dose is where people see most of the symptoms. So we'll see. I'm just happy to have gotten it done.
Well, you know, what qualified you for this was because you're probably the first black man in the state of Texas to go get his vaccine. So like, I ain't taking that shit. and now that I'm on special assignment, I definitely need to, you know, try and get mine myself too. So, you know, to each his own as to who, you can't force people to do it. And even, you know, I don't think they can make it where employees force people to do it. They can say you can't come into the building until such time. They can require it in that manner. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out as we move forward. Yeah. And can we get to herd immunity? So. Yep. I do want to go back to your bullshit statement on tipping, though. You know, after that empowering speech and this great, you know, motivational of why you did it and, you know, great thing, I want to get back to this bullshit you're talking about, saying that I don't tip if the service is shitty. What I said last week was I do tip. It's just a lesser amount. Now, you have your cap on the minimum that you would tip, which is great, mm-hmm. and I'm fine with your minimum. Right now, my minimum would be 10%, because if you give me bad service or shitty service at that point, and depending on how shitty that service is or how bad that service is, yes, I'm mm-hmm. going to lower what I'm going to give you. There's no way I give you the full amount I was going to give you if the service is garbage. Mm-hmm. Just like you're not going to give them 30% because the service was bad. Yours is 20, and I'm not knocking you for your 20 because you've worked in service industry. As a matter of fact, as evidenced by that thing you sent me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I love that thing that I sent you. I thought it was hilarious because it's so true. If you never worked in the restaurant industry, mm-hmm. You could totally tell. And not just on the tipping. It's just some of the other things. You know, if someone says something is 86 and somebody doesn't say hurt, because normally in the kitchen, someone say, hey, 86 ribeyes. And as you're walking by, you're like, hurt. That way, you know, not to order that and tell the customers that.
So 86, that means we're out of ribeyes.
Yep, we're out of it. Yeah. So 86 that, we're out of it. If somebody yells like behind or corner. So when you're carrying food, if you're going around the corner, you always yell corner. That way, if someone else is coming around the corner, they hear you. Nope. Or if they're standing in front of you, you say behind you. And that way they know that you're coming right behind them with food. And so it's just something you automatically do. It's been years since I worked in a restaurant, but there's still times I catch myself potentially doing it. They ask what time you get off work and they don't understand why you don't know an exact time because it's so true. So it's like, as a manager, I'm like, I'm working volume. So what time are you getting off? Volume. Well, what does that mean? Well, when the volume slows down and everything is good enough that I can go, sometimes that could be 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes that could be 9:30, 10 o'clock.
That's just inconsiderate people who just don't understand that you know, you don't work a 9 to 5. You work a 9 to 5-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even if you're waiting tables, like if you're normally done at 4, but shit could happen where you're there till 5:30. So in that industry, it's never
coming,
That no matter what position you work in that industry, it's never a set, you know, guaranteed time. This other one they point out, and I totally, I don't do this at all because of the years I did it. Another way you can tell someone's never worked in the restaurant industry is they leave their plates, forks, napkins, cups unstacked all over the table instead of stacking them neatly together and placing them on the edge. So when I'm eating, I grab the plate.
Yep.
I'll help stack plates. I put stuff up and just set it. That way it's easier for the server, the busser, just to come grab it and go.
We used to call that
pre-bussing, right?
Yeah.
You're pre-bussing a table before the customers leave. That way it's less stuff to do when they do get up and it's a faster turnaround where you can hurry up and wipe it down, seat it, and do a faster table turn. So I still do that no matter where I go. I neatly stack up my stuff.
I've seen that. I've seen people do that, and I get the reasoning behind it. But you're right. If you don't work in the industry, I've never worked in the industry, then that's not something that even crosses your mind to do. You kind of push everything to the middle of the table away from you. The person who's working is like, now grab, blap, and put it all over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny though, but it's true.
Another one, to know someone's never worked in the restaurant industry, they've never cried or screamed fuck real quick and walk in and then walk back out like nothing happened. So the walk in is the walking cooler. And so when you're stressed and you just need to yell, many times you go in there and you just scream, get that cuss out, and then come right back out, start talking to tables and put your happy face on. That if anyone's ever done that, they've worked in the restaurant industry.
Well, not just the restaurant industry, because we have, you do it. I mean, in radio, they always tell you, no matter what's going on in your life, when you walk through that door, leave your shit at the door. Because nobody else gives a shit about what your problems are. I don't want, especially if you're doing morning radio, don't come in because you're sleepy and, I guess we have to do this morning. Because everybody else who's getting up, they don't want to hear that shit. Give me some shit. Give me some energy. Let's roll. And that's what it is. So I totally get that. That's not just a restaurant industry thing. But I love that because you do have to put your game face on regardless. And it's no matter whether you feel like it or not, customers there. All right, let's go.
Yeah, I can tell you the days that there's 3 days in the restaurant industry for me that always sucked. Mm-hmm. And at some point I'm going to drop an F-bomb and yell. And you might be surprised on these 3 days. Mother's Day, because it is so crazy busy and annoying. Valentine's Day, everybody wants to ball out at a friggin' Applebee's and like think that they're treating their lady to something special. And then Sunday church crowds, assholes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Sunday church crowds are assholes, man. I don't know what they got preached to, but they are just rude, very demanding people. You know, it's just crazy. Dealing with Sunday morning church crowds. I just hated that group. Hated working Sunday mornings to deal with that Sunday morning church crowd.
I will tell you that neither of those three surprised me. Mother's Day, because, you know, it's again, hectic. Everybody's got to take mom out to eat. And then people on special days, people just get in that crazy manner. Like you said, Valentine's Day is the ball out and want it all. And why is it not this? And you got to show up because, again, it's those special days. You're trying to show up for this other person that's there. And then,
yeah,
of course, like you said, the church crowd, man, they well, the Lord has already forgiven me for my sins, so it's time to restart.
Start fresh.
I'm on the Control-Alt-Delete. Let's go.
Yeah, they are just some of the rudest people. They're always in a large group. And I told you, I don't like eating in groups, large groups, when I go out to eat to restaurants. Mm, but yeah, they're in a large group, and there's always at least going to be one that's going to be the biggest ass of them all. So, hate that one. And then the very last thing they had on this deal, how to know someone's never worked in a restaurant, they don't automatically tip 20% despite how terrible the waitress was.
And that's where I agree with you on everything else until we get to that point, because I'm sorry, you're not going to get 20% if the service is bad. If the service is shitty, you're not going to get the 20%. And that's just me. And you can tell me I'm wrong, and that's fine. That's because you've worked in the industry, and that's great. But just because you've worked in the industry doesn't mean that you should have to pay somebody for not doing their job the right way. Because you, of all people, know what they could be doing better or should be doing better, or and you can tell when it's not just the fact that they're busy, right? And because again, I can tell when somebody's busy and they got a lot going on. You can tell when somebody's just not being attentive at all. But if it's just, there are different things that people do, and sometimes it's because they think, okay, well, this is a black person, they're not going to tip, so I'm just going to give them half-ass service. And I can't tell you why somebody's going to do it. I can tell you that when I get half-ass service, I know it's half-ass service, and I go, okay. Other than that, I tip well, but I always tip, and that's the key thing. I always tip. And I think I remember you just telling me that you did something the other day and didn't tip, and you got service.
Yeah. I went to the liquor store and was paying with a credit card, and the slip had a section for me to tip. And I'm like, why would I tip?
So 20%, goddammit.
Why would I tip at the liquor store? No, 20%. Why would I tip at the liquor store? He didn't do anything. I walked in. I got all the stuff I wanted. I carried it to the counter. He rang it up, put it in a bag. I carried that bag to my car. But if I pulled up in front of the liquor store, he runs out to my car and says, hey, you look like Terrell. What can I get for you, sir? And I'm like, hey, well, I want to get some whiskeys. Well, we got this selection. I'm going to run and go get them for you. And have you ever tried this whiskey? It's really delicious. I'm going to bring you a sample. Yeah. If they'd have done all that. And then he comes out there in a bag, puts it in the back seat of my car, hands the little, you know, hand device to run my credit card. I would have left a tip for that. But I'm talking like tipped. When I talk about always leaving a tip, it's restaurant. Restaurants, bars, always leave a tip for that. But I thought that was odd that there's a section to leave a tip at the liquor store. I'm like, you didn't do anything. So it's not upsell me. No.
So I would agree with you. The only time I don't tip is in situations like that when it's like, why is there a tip line on here? And you just... And I purposely put the zero in that shit. Nope, because you're right. I went and did everything. But a couple people I take care of very well, I always have, which is bartenders, because you take care of your bartender, they remember that, right? You take care of your waitress, because and your server, let's not be sexist here, take care of your server, because that person will remember that kind of stuff. And at the same time, you always want to make sure who's ever handling your food is good, whoever's handling your drinks is good, and they understand where you are. So that's why I always tip. Now, if you are shitty in what you do, I'm sorry. You're not going to get the full amount of the tip that I want to give you, but you're still going to get a tip, because I understand you're not making. And there are a lot of people who don't tip completely. And I know that. Black, white, whatever. Or indifferent.
Yep.
I know there are a lot of people who don't tip. I'm not one of those people who don't tip, because I get it. I understand. I've never worked in the industry, but I understand you don't get paid the not even minimum wage. But I also know there's a lot of money to be made, and that's the thing that some people use to go, well, why would I tip them a whole lot? Because they're going to make this anyway. Don't count other people's pocket. I hate when people do that. Just, if the service is good, give the tip. You know what I mean? And even if the service is bad, leave a tip. Now, that tip may be a dollar. It may be 10%. But yeah, it's not going to be the 15 where I start. Again, I start here, and let's move up. Or let's move down. Yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah. And I think during this pandemic, with all the different things that got shut down, people have more disposable income, in a sense, that you're not spending so many other places. So when we had the first lockdown, we were doing to-go only. You know, I would, like, if my bill was $18, you know, I tipped $18. I called it tip the tab, right?
Oh, wow.
Because those people are that you, to your point, you know, when you're working to go, they're just sitting there working for tips if they get anything.
True.
And so I'm like, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not doing anything else. How great would it be to help bless this person and be able to help them? That was my mindset when I started doing Tip the Tab to a lot of places. And then even if I, you know, bartenders especially, I definitely take care of them when I go out places. You know, it just really depends. I think it's just great to do. But right now, especially since a lot of these people are impacted the most, if I have the extra money, I'm going to give you 25% or something. You did a great job. But also, I know you haven't had to work in months because the restaurant was closed. So here's an extra on top of that 20%. And even if the service is kind of average or poor, I still will give 20% because I just do that. You don't have to.
I've honestly never tipped as high as you have because I've never given, you know, tip the check. But I get it, and it's the same thing in looking at delivery drivers. When I really thought about this a lot was when you know, I used to order Domino's quite a bit in Charleston, right? And I'd go, there's a delivery fee, and you had to really go, wait a minute, is that delivery fee for the company or does? And I remember I asked the driver once, do you guys get the delivery fee? He goes, no, man here, you know. And what was always good to me was when they would come. And they were getting, and you tip them, and they go, oh, well, thank you. You know, and like they were surprised to get a tip. Like, no, I'm going to tip you. No, don't spit on my pizza next time, motherfucker.
Well, but the other thing is that those delivery services, they talk, right? So just like, you know, you rate your Uber driver, Uber drivers rate you as well. And so same as these delivery services. Mm-hmm. And so I like them to know if my name pops up for delivery, and maybe somebody put in the comments, "Hey, he's a big tipper." Awesome. Yeah. That way, they already know they're gonna get a good tip from me.
I want to deliver to town. No, I want to deliver to town.
Yeah, let them fight over it, but they'll know. Because compared to if they're like, "Hey, this guy never tips," they could be like, "Well, shit." And sometimes they maybe decline it, or they're just gonna half-ass because they know no matter what they do, you're not tipping. So who cares? Exactly.
No, that's facts. You know, we got an email in the mailbag from your good friend CJ.
CJ!
As we get into For the Love of Sports, he says, hoping you guys discuss the Myers-Leonard situation at some point this week. Here's my question. Is stupidity ever an acceptable excuse for an adult? Not speaking of literacy or ignorance or of meaning. I'm speaking of the stupidity it takes to use a word that is, by the way, spoken with fever, veracity, tone, and ease, and apparently have no idea, quote-unquote, what it means on a Twitch live stream. Oh, yeah, then wait 24-ish hours to apologize, only after a public uproar with a weak-ass excuse. You kind of are filling me in on this Myers-Leonard situation, because I miss this one. Fill in everyone else who's not aware of it.
Yeah, so Myers-Leonard is a player... he's a center for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. And apparently he was playing a video game. And I don't play video games, so I don't know how this works and how, you know, how he even got caught. But, you know, he probably has the headset and you're talking to the people. People are recording it. And
so let me, I'll fill you in right here. So he's on a Twitch live stream, right? So what happens is you're playing the game, you have the headsets on so you can talk to the other person, but if you're streaming it, then also anybody can watch. So if you have you're on Twitch, you can go watch. So people are just watching. So you could have 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people watching this game happen. And so that's where this happened. And whatever you're saying on the microphone that's feeding through the live stream is there. They can hear the conversation between both people. So that's where we are. Go ahead.
Okay. Why would anybody want to do that? I don't know. But
you just seem so confused as I've explained that. Like, so you want anybody why would you to want watch to do you play?
Yeah. I'm like, hey, Yanni, I'm going to play you in a game. Well, let's live stream and let anyone in the world just be able to jump in and watch us. Like, it's just weird.
You understand it perfectly well. See?
Yeah. It's just weird. But so in the video that he's playing this game, he could be heard saying, "Effing cowards, don't effing snipe me, you effing B-word." Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, hey, who says that anymore? But then why the hell would you say that? And that just took off. So he got fined $50,000 and suspended from the team's facilities and banned from team activities for a week for the anti-Semitic slur. And he's got a lot of, you know, pushback. I mean, I think Edelman wrote him a letter saying, hey, you know, help me let me help you understand why this is offensive. Yeah. But I'm in Miami all the time. If you want to get together, I'd love to take you for, I think it's Shabbat, you know, dinner. Yeah. And he goes, I'll show you a really good time. So that's what happened with there. So stupidity, you know, why he said it. I wouldn't accept his apology either, because that goes back to my comment about the apology tour. You're only saying it because people got upset.
Got caught. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got caught, you know, but.
The thing about it is, you can't say you had no idea what it meant or that it was offensive when you use, like, if the offensive part was bitch, you still can't say, well, I didn't know that, because you said it trying to be offensive.
Right.
You said it in a manner to piss people off. Piss yep. the guy you were talking to off. Or the girl, whoever it was, I'm assuming it was
the kid, whatever. You know,
yeah. And granted, kids say the stupidest shit on these goddamn games. And you just get, that's why when, so I'll jump on Madden and play random people. I purposely don't plug in my headphones because I'm not going to sit down here and be yelling at people I have no idea who they are, right? So they could talk all the shit they want. I can't hear them anyway. I don't care what they say, right? So they can be out there cussing me out. I have no idea. Say all the things you want. But you can't use that as an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know that was offensive. You knew because you said it in that manner. And if you know how to use it properly, it's like when they say, oh, kids, a baby who curses, they use it in the right way because they've watched you do it. So they know how to use it in the right manner. And you as an adult, if you use it in the right manner, and I say the right manner in the offensive manner that you wanted to use it in, you can't claim stupidity or ignorance. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I didn't know that I was supposed to put the ball through the hoop. It was an accident.
Well, I mean, I just don't think you can just claim ignorance. He knows what it means. He knew what he was doing, and just leave it at that. So if the Miami Heat organization, it's okay to forgive. Great, you know, more power to him. But yeah, I mean, I just think it was dumb on his part, and we all know in the world of the media and entertainment, there's just certain groups you just don't fuck with.
and
consequences and repercussions when you do.
as a whole, because you're looking at you're talking about in any industry, because you're talking about, this is sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a live stream, and whether it's in news media, there's certain things you can't do. In entertainment media, you can't do it. In the movies, you can't. In sports, you can't. It doesn't matter what you do. In HR, you can't, because if you say what he said, you will get canceled really quick. And you're right. There are certain groups that are so strong in what they do and in their unity. And this is where I have the biggest issue in how divided we are as a people, because if we were as strong as some of these other groups and as united as, there's so much that could change, because there's so many things we've seen change over time where people know, we'll insult anybody else, but we are not going to insult this group, this group, this group, or this group.
Yeah.
We know better. We'll talk shit about any president there is, but we'll never talk about this person.
Yeah, not this person. Off limits, always.
Exactly. And on that note, we're going to skip right past this subject real quick. CJ, appreciate the question, man. You know, a perfect example of what we were just talking about with certain groups. You know who to insult and who not to is this high school basketball announcer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this on TMZ, and he's about to go. It's the national anthem. Boom. He goes to the national anthem. So the sound is supposed to go. His mics are supposed to be off. Him and his co-announcer, mic's supposed to be off. They aren't. And this is what I always say. Whenever there's a microphone in front of you, and you're not the one behind the board controlling it, then you need to think it's always live, right? Mm-hmm. When I used to do remotes and we had a microphone there, if I wanted to talk, I'm unplugging it, because I wanted to make sure that that person in the studio didn't accidentally put me over the air. I've never wanted that. Not that I was saying anything bad. I just don't want random conversations over the air. Well, that's what happened with this guy. The national anthem is playing, and he goes, oh, my God, are they kneeling? Because the girls' basketball team was kneeling for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. And then the opposing goes, team, right?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, my God, are they kneeling? Fucking. And then continues the conversation. And then comes back like it's nothing because he has no idea that that happened. Now, when it finally comes to light that, oh, yeah, by the way, this went out over the air and this is what it is. He goes, okay, well, yes, that was me. But, you know, I have diabetes. So when my sugar's spiking, sometimes anything's liable to come out of my mouth. And I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because I can't believe you just blamed your racism on diabetes.
I laughed. I wasn't offended. I laughed more when I saw the story because I'm like, so you're telling me low blood sugar, you know, turns on your racism, you know? Yes. That's what I'm going to start assuming now. Anytime I come across somebody who says something racist or whatever, I'd be like, hey, man, eat a Snickers. Your racism is showing. Drink some orange juice. I think your racism is starting to come out, you know? But that's just the craziest excuse I've ever heard. He kept trying to say, well, I'm not trying to make that an excuse. You know, it doesn't, you know, excuse what I did. I'm like, yes, you are trying to make that excuse. I can't believe that's where you went. Can't believe that's where you went. I've known a lot of people with low blood sugar and have that are diabetics.
Me too.
One of them said when their sugar's low, they all of a sudden become either racist, sexist, something, nothing. I'm like, that was just the crazy excuse. Now, the other thing I thought more about after I got done laughing for like an hour about that whole excuse he gave is the guy sitting next to him didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that to me, he co-signed on it. You see what I'm saying?
I wouldn't even go to co-sign. I would say that's not the first time he's heard him say that.
It's like,
come
on,
guy, don't say that. Because he's heard him say it. So, yeah, he excused it. He's fine with that. But because there are things that people have said, and I go, look, yo, don't say that. If you're not comfortable with it, you can tell people not to say that. So you're right. Does he co-sign? I don't think it's a co-sign. So this is where you and I will disagree on that part. But I will say that's not the first time he's heard it. Because he wasn't shocked. Because he didn't go, oh my God, dude.
But the fact that he didn't stop him, to me, that's a co-sign. Because even if you've heard him say it before, right? If I'm out with you and I hear you say something, you know, derogatory about anybody, and I'm like, hey, man, that's not cool.
It's only
and the next time you do
what
it,
talking about?
The next time you do it, I'll be like, hey, that's not cool, man. I keep telling you. That's not cool. So every time you did it, I would keep saying
it. Again, it'll only be about you.
I know, and it's not cool. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm just saying. Yeah. It's only about you.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's not cool. Don't talk about me like that. So to me, I feel like he's co-signing on because he's just letting it go. Whether he agrees with him or not, he didn't speak up and say anything. And I think that was bad. And so now I think that group, they are like a third party vendor that does the announcing. The school has said they're not going to use them anymore the rest of the year as they do an investigation. I'm like, what do you need to investigate? There's a recording.
There's nothing to investigate.
Said. Yeah. I don't know what the investigation is going to entail, but whatever. But shame on that dude. And again, diabetes, the sugars.
Now if your friend Reggie Mantle called him a racist, I'd be like, yeah, I might be inclined to agree with you on this one. There's proof in the pudding there. I'm not understanding. I get it. Oh, something else I can't understand, man, is what's going on with these teachers. As we get into this bullshit, oh my God, what? I mean, even though that high school announcer could have been some bullshit too, but what's going
every
on with
week,
teachers?
Every week there's something going on with teachers, right? Mm-hmm. So this week, it's a teacher in Arkansas. Part of me is like, well, North Little Rock, what do you expect? But this teacher...
People say that about Texas, too. I'm just saying, Ted Cruz.
Yeah, very true. So this teacher's name's Carla Lassiter. She had, and I guess for the story, I have to say she's white. Although when I said Little Rock, Arkansas, I think that says that. But she's white. And she had a five-year-old little black boy that apparently either he used too much toilet paper or something in the toilet. And so she was trying to teach him a lesson about clogging the toilet. So she made him stick his hand in the toilet and pull out his own feces. And so the kid, of course, tells the mom. Oh, the mom is like, are you shitting me? She's pissed. Literally. The teacher admits that, yeah, I had her do it. I had him do it. I don't know why. I was trying to teach him a lesson about clogging up the toilet. And so now this teacher's, you know, suspended on leave. And the whole deal, there's an investigation going on and the yada, yada, yada. And apparently this teacher is like well-decorated teacher. You know, it's, I don't know what happened. Did she just snap? Or is it maybe just something with this kid that she just can't stand him? But why would any teacher make any kid, especially a five-year-old, do something like that?
There is
it
no answer.
It just blows my
that.
Mind.
There's yeah. absolutely no answer to that question. And if they ask, the only thing she could say when they said, "Why'd you do this?" is, "I have no idea." Because what are you going to say? The only real answer is, "Well, because he's black and I'm white." And we'd go, "Well, why that still?" I mean, again, there's no right answer. "Oh, because I don't like him." Why? He's a kid. He's a five-year-old kid. "Oh, he gets on my damn nerves." Again, it's a five-year-old kid. There's no answer she could give that is going to satisfy the mother,
right,
the principal, or anybody in the community. And I don't care about the color in this one. All right? And I say that just because it doesn't matter. A teacher, an adult, did this with a five-year-old child, regardless. Now, we don't know, so we're not going to suppose or insinuate that race had anything to do with it. I'm just going to say that as an adult, to do that, anything that parent did to that teacher when they came to that school was justified, regardless.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never for the fact when parents come to the school and are mad at teachers because they punish their child for this or that or the other. This, though? I don't care what that parent did to that child. Because I can't answer the question. If you were to say, "Yanni, what would you do in this situation?" I'd go, first of all, I don't answer hypothetical questions. but second of all, I'll go, "I don't know what I would do in this case." I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Is that something you would do to your own child? Is it something? How would you react if somebody did it to her child? You know, it's – I have no words for this.
I don't understand either. Yeah, I don't understand either, and I don't want to assume race played an issue into it. The way the article is posted, obviously, white teacher does this to black student. But my thing is, what teacher does that to any student? Even if it was a white teacher to a white student, I would still be talking about it on this podcast because that is just blows my mind.
If it was a black
mind.
Teacher to a white student, we'd be having this conversation too.
Yeah, definitely would. And I don't know. Maybe I have no idea why there's a whole lot of teacher things going on lately. You know, is it because of the working from home model and the Zoom classrooms? I have no idea, but shit, some teachers are losing it. But this story, I just don't understand what would make her even do that, period, to anybody, right? I don't know, does she snap? I mean, they're doing in-person classes, apparently. So she don't like come to his house and make him stick his hand in his own toilet. You know, so they're doing in-person classes. So maybe things are a little back to normal there, but I just don't understand what would cause her to do that. But that just blew my mind this week. Some serious bullshit.
I will say, for this week. It is some serious bullshit. And I will say this, though. The good thing, if there's a glass half full in this, all the other teachers should be like, "All right, so look, here's why we need a raise. One, we're not going to masturbate in front of the class. Two, if it's a virtual class, we're not going to stand up and jack off in front of the class. And three, we're not going to make your child reach into the toilet to prove that you're not supposed to put too much toilet paper in there and take their own feces out. So therefore, we deserve a raise." Because this is the level of bullshit you get when you only pay $9.99 an hour.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a way that teachers could get what they're just due in educating our kids, because at the end of the day, we don't need any more of these bullshit ass stories coming out with teachers and students, man. This is crazy. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it really and truly needs to stop. No more of this bullshit. Just like the bullshit around Meghan and Harry. It's a week ago they sat down with Oprah. Well, a week ago it aired. They sat down with Oprah. And a lot of things came out of that, you know, whether it was getting down to, you know, the fact that somebody in the royal family thought was questioning how dark the baby would be. And we can go through all that. But the thing I really want to cover, especially in this bullshit, because we can say that's bullshit. But, I mean, it's the royal family. And it's if you go back and look, and I love medieval stuff. I love medieval history. I go back and look through a lot of that stuff. So that's not going to surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of surprised me was the reason why Piers Morgan, or what appears to be the reason why Piers Morgan has had it out for Meghan Markle for a long time, since her and Prince Harry got together.
Mm-hmm.
Piers Morgan has had something to say about it, and apparently, as this resurfaced, he was on the Late Late Show speaking about how he met her for the first time. They sat down in a pub and they had drinks. She was on a press tour for Suits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he puts her in a cab, and that cab took her to the party where she met Prince Harry. Then the next night, she had a one-on-one dinner with Prince Harry, and Piers Morgan hasn't heard from her since. So basically, she goes to them after, you know, but it's not like they were dating.
Right.
She wasn't dating Piers Morgan. They met once. Mm-hmm. Right? And it seems that he's had a vendetta out for her since then because she ignored him. And he's like, oh, well, she reached the status she wanted, so she no longer has use for us. And she doesn't know you.
Yeah.
What are you mad about? You are the better never been. Not even the better ex-boyfriend. You're the better never been.
Yeah.
Is this what women go through all the time with guys who are insecure men? Jesus Christ.
I'm sure. I'm sure they can all tell a bunch of stories of very similar deals. But yeah, Piers Morgan is just, you know, I think one thing you just don't do is you don't want to say that someone's lying about how they feel, because that's their feelings. You don't, mm-hmm. you can't speak to that. I think that's the problem that he had when he was trying to say that he doesn't believe that she was suicidal, and he doesn't believe that anybody that she went to within the institution didn't try to offer her help. He's just calling her story bullshit, which I just think it's very insensitive to do something like that. And honestly, it's stupid. You know, you can't say, well, no, what you're feeling is wrong, and you didn't think about suicide. Shut up.
Right.
You know, I think that's crazy. And then I don't know if you watched the deal with the talk with Sharon Osbourne, where she was asked, you know, why is she still kind of friends with Piers Morgan if your friend is racist? And it wound up being this whole big deal, and they're doing an investigation on that. And Piers Morgan wants CBS to apologize to him and to Sharon Osbourne. And it's this whole big, now I'm the victim kind of mentality. So it's a crazy story. Piers Morgan has always been someone of a shock and awe kind of person. He's a British version of a Rush Limbaugh.
Exactly.
You know, and he just kind of says a lot of stuff just for noise, mm-hmm. And clickbait. So I think apparently he's stepping away from his show, and don't know what he's going to do next. I'm sure he's going to do something. But yeah, I just thought it was ridiculous. I watched the interview, and it was interesting to hear just all that stuff about, you know, what color, how dark will the baby be, all these different things. And, you know, kudos to Meghan for admitting the fact that she went into this whole thing very naive. She didn't like look up Prince Harry, didn't look up the royal family. I mean, I do that. If I'm going to go on a date with you for the first time, I'm going to look you up. I'm going to find some stuff on Facebook. I'm going to do some searches. She didn't do any of that. And so she just felt really naive about everything. And I think Harry should have told her a little bit more, like, hey, here's what's going to happen. If we're going to date, this is what it's going to look like. Are you sure you're in?
But are you, she may not have researched in detail, and maybe that's what she really means in that sense of in detail. What are the procedures, and what do you have to do? What are the things you have to do? How do you curtsy for the queen? What do you have to do when you're in her presence? Like, people didn't tell them you can't stand next to the queen, especially, you know, there's certain things you can't do. But she knew. The world is out there, and the fact that I'm sure she knew enough about them, but just not about what you have to do around them, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. He should have definitely prepared her for a lot of that, because if you're going to go, somebody's coming to meet your mom, and your mom is very particular about certain things, you're going to be like, all right, well, take those booty shorts off.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna hear the end of this if you do that, you know?
But, yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I think even with there are a lot of people online and on social media, the Twitter thugs, who are like, oh, well, what do you mean? She was, as a young girl, she liked to, she always wanted to be a princess. What young girl hasn't wanted to be a princess? You know, it's this, but not in the literal sense, because you don't think you can be, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's, you're stepping into a world that's very different. And it's probably a very outdated world, as a lot of people are saying now, and the procedures that they do, but it is their world. and you're stepping into that. Does that mean that she should just accept anything that comes her way? No, because the world is changing as a whole. If these are the kind of things that are being said, first of all, don't be surprised because that's the way it is. Just like I'm not surprised that her dad is now going, yeah, well, you know, I side with the royal family. I don't think they're racist. Nobody said the entire royal family is racist. She didn't say the entire family was. And they were very careful to point out that, nope, grandmother didn't say that. My guess is it's Prince Charles, and that's just my guess, because I think she kind of reminds him a lot of Lady Diana. But is it the entire family? No. But I'm sure there are factions of people who have their own feelings. Just like you said, you can't tell somebody how to feel, and you can't say that this or that. And is that really a bad question to ask how dark the baby's going to be at the same time? Like, do you know? But that's how she's going to answer that question. I don't know. It's genetics.
Well,
doctors can't tell you that.
Yeah, you're right. But maybe it depends on tone. Like, was the question like, how dark is this baby going to be? Or was the question like, I wonder how dark it's going to be? This baby is so cute.
You think she's going to have those great curly curls? Or is she not going to have to tan?
I've been wanting one of these ever since I was a kid. I can't wait.
You know what? Now you put it that way, it doesn't matter the way it was asked. It was going to be bad anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. But even still, I think, Harry even admitted that he didn't think about the race issue until they started dating, and then he started seeing the stuff in the tabloids, and kind of, as he put it, you know, walked a mile in her shoes.
Yeah.
Then it hit him, which says a lot about him, because you figure if you grow up in that environment, I'm sure there's not a lot of black people, you know, that are working in there. So I'm sure he might have been taught or told or heard certain things, but he still went out and, you know, who he fell in love with is who he fell in love with, regardless of their skin color. So I think kudos to him. But now that I think he sees it and sees how it's going to impact his son. Mm-hmm. And their soon to be daughter, you know, as well. I think a lot of times biracial children, depending on, you know, how they grow up, they either get attacked by black people because they're not black enough, or they get attacked by white people because they're not white enough.
Or both.
Exactly. Right? And so they're always fighting that battle. And I think he sees what his kids are going to have to go through now, you know. So I don't know how the story is going to go with them. And, you know, what they're going to do going forward. I don't think Meghan is as bad as people make her seem to be.
Right.
You know, and just a whole lot of lies and people believing what's in the tabloids, which, you know, you just can't really do.
You just can't.
So, yeah.
And we give this bullshit to Piers Morgan, but I also got to give this bullshit to the royal family as well for pulling a security detail. Seriously? He's still a member of the royal family, his wife and his child. It's not like, if you want to say that you're not going to give protection to an illegitimate child, I still think that's wrong, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his wife, his son.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? So I think they've really shaken up quite a bit. It's going to be interesting to see what happens from here. But definitely, Piers Morgan is the biggest loser in this entire thing, walking off of his show because one of his castmates or showmates was calling him out on his bullshit. Just like, yo, no, you've been dragging her through the tabloids and dragging her through the media for years, and she's yet to say anything about you. So what is your deal? And so he's like, I'm not going to take this. So the minute somebody calls him out, he walks off and doesn't want to deal with it. Perfect example of a bully that wants to just speak his shit, and when somebody turns it back on them, walk away and go, oh, I'm done with this.
Yeah. All right,
well, you know, so Piers, whatever, man. I would like to just give him a big fuck you, and you know, but he's not going to care, just like she doesn't care whatever he's saying about him. So I'll keep that fuck you to myself.
Yeah.
You ready to get out of here, man?
Yeah, ready to do it.
So what you drinking today, buddy?
Little Angel's Envy.
Ooh.
Today.
First of all, that's not a little. Hold that glass up again. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a little glass. That's why. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little glass.
How many
glass.
Ounces is just that? Seeing that you're a bartender, how many ounces is that?
How many ounces can fill it in this glass? I don't know. I'd say maybe four.
So that's about 2 ounces.
Three to four.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a shot.
Okay, okay. All right. I'm just saying.
Judgy?
Yes, a little. Because this is a little.
That's just a swallow. That's a taste.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. I'm doing a taste. And
yeah,
it's in a Douce cup, but this is actually my Four Roses small batch again. You know, I love it. Four Roses small batch. So I'm going with this, just like you, straight up, no rocks.
Yeah, just something.
Mine
to sip
I can
on.
Take in one swig. Yours, you'll be sipping on that for a while.
Yeah, that's the goal.
What are we toasting to today, man?
Let's toast to, you know, safe travels for you and mm-hmm. for me. We're both going to be on the road this week. So hopefully have some safe travels, wear your mask, all mm-hmm. that type of stuff. But it should be some good adventures. Hopefully we'll have some good travel stories that we can share maybe next week.
Indeed. You know, like you say, safe travels, mask up, follow the law. And guys, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service.
And don't forget to sign... Don't forget to sign the pullout policy after that third kid.
The pullout policy. I was going to name this podcast Crawfish Season, but pullout policy seems so much better.
Pullout policy is good.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes. Be sure to like and comment. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.